This morning we continue our series on home improvement, and this morning we're in the dining room with guess who's coming to dinner. We are in Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. When one of those at table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and responded to this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but still there's more room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we are continuing the series Home Improvement with guess who's coming to dinner this morning. If you were here last week or online last week, you know that I mentioned that one of the big things that's happening during this pandemic, since so many people are at home so often, is there's a huge boom in the home improvement business at home and, of course, in the store. So one of the best places to meet people are Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, all those things. But there's all kinds of projects that people have been doing inside and outside. And we talked last week about making sure that our foundation is storm ready. So we think a lot of time out about what you can see, but what's underneath is really important. And we talked about how that Christ is the only sure foundation that makes our lives storm ready. Well, it's not just the foundation, it's not just additions, but I don't know how many people out there are sort of the decorator group. You know, not the necessarily building a new room or a new patio, but any do-it-yourself when it comes to sort of refurbishing the inside out there. Well, you might be a painter. So you like to paint your dining room, or you might be the person who likes to do recoloring of the trim or wallpaper or maybe furnishings, but it's amazing what you can do. And I mentioned that I've got my hard hat from Habitat for Humanity Women's Build, but you've got the paint roller that's there, and I know you're thinking, well, what do you need the hard hat for painting? Well, if you're like me, it's amazing because I'm actually really good at, I can do it without even the, you know, the painter's tape, really good on edges and good on not getting on the floor. But you know, every time I paint, you know where I do get paint? My daughter will say, "Dad, you got paint all over your hair." So that's what happens to me anyway. I don't know what you're like on that. So even while I'm painting, it doesn't hurt to have that hard helmet on. I'm going to go ahead and take it off this morning. But if you are that person, I guess we can put this out here, can't we? You can handle that. The dining room. Well, once you get done with your new project on the dining room and you're refurbishing it, what do? Especially not during the pandemic. Well, you invite friends and family to a great banquet, right? And I know so many of you out there do exactly that. And I know this is a pandemic right now. So some of you may have to wait for that big banquet until the pandemic is over, but you're going to have some nice celebrations for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and you love to sort of spread the table. I love going to Nancy Christmas's home because she does something that I don't know that a lot of people do, but she got me doing this ourselves in our own family, which is that when you go to Nancy's house, it might be a week before the banquet, might even be 2 weeks ahead, but she sets the table. I don't mean the food, but she puts all this beautiful china around the table with all the glass furnishing and the silverware and the napkins. And it just looks beautiful because so many times we forget that it does look beautiful. I mean, because we got the food out there and then we say a blessing, hopefully, and give thanks. And then we kind of dive in and then we've got dirty dishes. But you know, that furniture and that table and that all those dining room dishes, they look beautiful, don't they? But none of it makes any sense without the dinner itself. And it's interesting because Jesus may have been thinking about some setting like this when he told that parable this morning, but it's a very interesting story because you'll never guess who's coming to dinner. With that, I invite you to walk back into the story. The backstory is this. Jesus has been reputed throughout the city and even the entire region as a person who is eating and dining and having a good time with all the wrong crowd, with all the wrong people, sinners and tax collectors, not the people from the right side of town. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, come to Jesus and challenge him on that point. And it's within that context that Jesus tells this story. There's other stories, but I want to focus on this one this morning. And the story goes like this, that this individual is planning a great banquet, a great feast, and he sends out save-the-date cards, okay? So people know in advance the great banquet's coming. And then he sends out a servant to invite the people who were invited and says that the banquet is now ready, come. And they make up a bunch of excuses, right? So one person says, I just bought a piece of property. I need to go and see it. Now, I don't know how many of you buy a piece of property and never saw it before, but this is before Zillow and online, so you probably would want to see it ahead of time. Another person says, well, I need to go and try out the 5 yoke of oxen I just bought. Well, would you really not try out a yoke of oxen before buying it? The only person who seems to have a legitimate excuse is the person who just got married. Okay, I'll give you that one. But everyone else has got, you know, a pretty lame excuse. And I just want to push pause for a moment on this story and ask you, what's your excuse this morning? And not excuse for the banquet, right? But do we sometimes make excuses about not coming to church? Now, I know, there's a pandemic, so there's a good reason for folks who don't want to come into the Lord's house, but it is online, right? So you don't really have that excuse. You can tune in online. And when you think about it, sometimes we just take church for granted. We take God's grace and love for granted, not just on Sundays, but every day of the year many times. And so we're reminded of just how valuable it is to be around the Lord's table, Lord's table of grace and love and forgiveness. And so I just challenge you not to think about your neighbor or even your spouse's excuse, but what's your excuse? And what can you do to maybe put more value on the Lord's invitation to you to come around the table? Well, to go back to this story, the landowner is so upset about this. He says, listen, go out into the highways and byways, the street alleys, and invite the poor, the lame, the orphans, the fatherless, everyone into God's house. And so the servant goes out and does exactly that. And then he comes back and says, I've done exactly that. And the landowner says, there's still more room. So go on out and to keep inviting people, the last, the lonely, the least, the marginalized of society, into this great banquet. You know, it's interesting because we have two roles this morning. The first is we are invited as guests of the Lord himself to his own banquet table. And we're reminded of that with Holy Communion this morning, with World Communion. So we're invited, so we can ask ourselves, are we making excuses? Are we really appreciating that like we should? But you and I are also the servants that are called to invite other people to this great dinner, to go out into the highways and byways of life, and to invite people who we wouldn't normally think would be around that table to God's great table of grace and love. And it reminds us that all people are invited, and World Communion reminds us again that all people of every race and every place are invited to the Lord's table. So what would it be like to be among those who wouldn't normally be invited to go to this great banquet? There's a story that I love, a true story that happened back in June of 2017. You may have seen the news on this in Indianapolis. But Sarah and Logan, this couple was engaged to be married, and Sarah was a pharmacy major at Purdue. And they had dreamed about the perfect wedding and the perfect reception. And they made plans at the Ritz Charles in Carmel. Never been there, but I heard it's a ritzy place. It's well named. And this extravaganza was to have 170 guests, and it cost $30,000. I mean, that is some price tag for this wedding feast. And, of course, a beautiful wedding cake. It had hors d'oeuvres. It had appetizers. It even had these Eiffel Tower images they used, they were going to use on the wedding cake. But a week before the wedding, Sarah and Logan decided they weren't really right for each other. And so they tried to cancel this wedding reception. Well, the place said, listen, we've already purchased everything. We can't refund you the $30,000. And they were heartbroken once again by that, but they began to think about what they could do, and they decided to take their disappointment and their heartbreak and turn it into something special and invitational. And what they decided to do was to invite folks from the local homeless shelters all across Indianapolis to come to this wedding reception, which now became just a banquet. And so they called all these homeless shelters and said, listen, you know, the folks that are the most downcast, the most hurting, the most in need, would you let them know that they could come to this? And would you provide transportation? They helped find transportation for this. And some folks heard about it, right? And so they decided they were going to provide clothing fit for a wedding reception. And so all these homeless folks got a new wardrobe for this, and they came to this wedding, and they didn't spare anything. They didn't shortchange anything. They had everyone who was, you know, invited, and they were walked to their special tables, and they were treated like royalty. And you wonder what it felt like for them. They left the wedding cake in there. They wanted it to be a celebration. They left those beautiful Eiffel Tower images there. And Sarah and Logan served the homeless in what was a night to remember. The footage is still online if you want to see it. And I wonder myself, was that a life-changing event to those folks who are normally the last, the lonely, the least, and the marginalized? I wonder what they're thinking tonight when they look back on their life and say, that was the most amazing day in my life because I felt special, I felt valued, I felt loved. And sure, it was some heartbreak and disappointment mixed in, but I wonder what would happen if we were to ask each and every one of those folks who were downcast and lonely and homeless what it meant to them. And I wonder in our own life sometimes if we would take the heartbreak of our life and make it a table of invitation somehow through God's blessing and grace. But more than anything else, when I think about this story, I can't help but imagine that it's very much like the story that Jesus told. That this moment of disappointment became a moment of invitation to the last, the lonely, the least, the forgotten, the marginalized. And Jesus went out of his way to tell us that we are people that get to send the invitations out personally to those who are out in the highways and byways who wouldn't normally be invited to a great banquet. So I ask you this morning, are you inviting those out in the highways and byways, the orphans, the widows, the last, the lonely, the least, the marginalized, into God's house, into God's amazing banquet, amazing grace? There's something else I want to think about, and that's a film that I love. And if you're younger, you probably don't remember this, and I was pretty young at the time. But back in 1967, one of the top 100 films of the 20th century came to production, and the name of it was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Anyone seen it? Are you out there? If you have not, you need to see it. Well, the top 100 films of the 20th century, it starred an all-star cast. Sidney Poitier, Spencer Tracy, the last movie that he ever made, Katharine Hepburn, and the young star at the time, Katherine Houghton. And the plot line goes like this. Matt and Christina Drayton, played by Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, are progressive liberals and proud of it in San Francisco. And they're proud that they're open-minded. Their daughter, Joanna, goes to Hawaii and sends them a message that she has become engaged to a doctor. And then they find out that this doctor, who is Sidney Poitier, is black. And so even though they're progressive and liberal and open-minded, all of a sudden it's their personal life, not their political views, that are at risk. And so what they find out is that he has been offered a job with the World Health Organization, and he needs to fly to Geneva. And so they are going to come to dinner with them, and his parents are going to fly up from L.A., and they're all going to have dinner, and they need to decide if they're really going to get married that evening. And so it is a movie filled with these vignettes when the people are having appetizers. And it turns out that John's parents, this young black medical doctor who's renowned and well-educated, aren't for the wedding, really. And Joanna's parents, even though they're liberal and progressive, are not for the wedding, not because they don't believe in interracial marriage, but because they think that this couple will face all too much opposition and resistance in society. So for their own good, they should never go through with this. And it turns out that the priest from the local parish stops by because Matt missed his golf outing with him. And so he gets into the mix and conversation as well. And after it goes on for a while in this sort of rotation of people talking, Christina, the mother, has a breakthrough. And she says, maybe we've all forgotten what it's like to be in love. We're too old. And we've forgotten that it really doesn't matter what race you are, but whether or not you're in love. And so there's this beautiful image as all these people who are wrestling with this alienation and all these questions gather around the table with the priest and have a beautiful dinner. Guess who's coming to dinner? And love wins the day. Well, you and I know that despite the fact that that movie started a great conversation nationally and globally, and we've made a lot of progress on race and justice and equality for everyone, that we still have ways to go. But we're working on it. And we have come quite a ways. But it reminds us maybe of what God's table looks like too, that sometimes there's some folks around the table that we wouldn't normally think belong there or make us uncomfortable or remind us that we have some prejudice and bias in our own life. All of us, regardless of where we're from. And so it's World Communion Sunday. And I think there's no other story that is more appropriate than the story that Jesus told us. That reminds us sometimes we are alienated by social status, by race, by language, by culture, by political views, God knows, with the election coming up. But I think Jesus would remind us this morning, and hopefully every day, but most of all this morning when we celebrate World Communion, that there's more that unites us than that which divides us. That God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness are for all people from every place and every race, and that we all have a place around God's table. And if we're struggling with that, then we need to find a place around the table too. And as we begin to talk with each other and pray with each other and share with each other and laugh with each other and cry with each other, we will be reminded that God's grace unites us, and what unites us is so much greater than what divides us. So this morning, on World Communion Sunday, when people all around the world are celebrating around the Lord's table, celebrating God's love and grace in different languages, different cultures, and different places, different political parties and views, guess who's coming to dinner? Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we reflect on this great story of our Lord and how sometimes it makes us uncomfortable, as it should, we're also reminded that your love transcends all. Every barrier, every heartbreak, every hurt, every misgiving. So we're thankful, Lord, that we can lead into your grace this morning. So open our eyes anew and open our hearts anew to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us to find a place of grace around your great table of love, to look around that table and to recognize sisters and brothers that we need to get to know, and remind us that we also are commissioned to go out into the highways and byways and invite all your people to your table. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.